Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. These next four podcasts are dedicated to 6.5-year-old Lene from Fairfield, Ohio. It was her mother who inspired me to record these podcasts for 7 to 17-year-old girls when Lene said to her mom that she needed to listen to the funny organizer lady while she cleaned and organized her room. And Lene, you did a great job on your room. So here's a little bit more motivation, and it's directly for you. All right, girls, the next five podcasts are all for you. Yes, girls ages 7 to 17, these podcasts are just for you, and I am going to share with you how you should organize your room, how to organize your room. And moms, you can stick around and listen for two reasons. One, I'd love for you to know what I'm saying to your darling daughters, and let me know if you agree. And number two, I think that going back to organizing your bedroom as a child, as you're becoming a young woman and then leaving for college or your career or whenever you leave home, there are a lot of things that I taught myself in organizing my own bedroom, and I've taught other children in organizing their bedrooms that really can help you have a good organizational mindset. Like how you organize your bedroom as a child and the skills you learned during that time really do translate into how you organize your house. All right, so girls, 7 to 17, I am talking to you. Now, obviously, the interests of a 7-year-old are going to be different than the interests of a 17-year-old. However, you have something in common. You have the same size bedroom when you are 7 that you have when you're 17, unless your parents move. And I want to talk about your bedroom for a minute. Maybe you share a bedroom with someone. Maybe your family lives in an apartment and you have a smaller bedroom. Or maybe I don't know where you live. Whatever size your bedroom is, if it's small, if it's big, if it has a bathroom attached, whatever it is, it is. There's nothing you can do to change that. Like, you can wish it was bigger, you can wish you had a walk-in closet, you can wish you had a bathroom, but the fact remains, your bedroom is the size that it is. So that is the first step in getting organized, is not wishing that you had something else. Something bigger, something better, more money to spend on your bedroom. You know, my husband and daughter watch iCarly all the time, and she has an amazing bedroom. So I hear about this bedroom all the time. Well, that is TV. That is not realistic. I don't know anybody who has a bedroom that way. So I want you, though, not only to realize the size of your bedroom and come to terms with, okay, this is my bedroom. I can't change this until I own my own house. But I also want you to be empowered by your bedroom. Unless you share it with somebody, that is your own space. And the majority of children don't share bedrooms. So I'm going to direct these podcasts as if you have your own bedroom space and you're not sharing it. Okay? So you have your own bedroom. Even if it's just 9 by 10 feet. Which I think is the size of our son's bedroom, and our daughter's is 10 by 12, I think. And you know, sometimes those rooms seem really small, and sometimes those rooms feel really big. It just depends on how much stuff is in there and how clean and organized it is. So no matter what size your bedroom is, you will be able to do everything that I'm going to tell you in these podcasts. And what I used to do when I was a kid is I would organize my room for fun all the time. I know, roll your eyes at me. I was crazy as a kid. I'm crazier as an adult, believe me. But I loved to organize my room. And then I loved to go organize my sister's room. And then when I became a babysitter, I would organize the bedrooms of the kids I babysat for. Sometimes the parents would hire me just to come organize all the rooms when the kids weren't even there, which was super fun. And now as a professional organizer, I've helped my kids organize their rooms, and our team regularly goes in and organizes kids' bedrooms. And the thing that I have learned organizing children's bedrooms is that it is your space. And I will not organize a young lady's bedroom with the mom there. I always make the moms leave. It's just a time for me to organize with you, not with your mom. So we're not going to think about mom most of the time when we're organizing this room. Now, the moms listening to the podcast, just listen all the way through. Don't freak out or anything. And the other thing I want you girls to really think about your bedroom is I want you to think about it like your own mini apartment. Because it is. It's your very own space inside of your parents' house. Like, they own the entire house. And, you know, if your parents are anything like me, I'm always saying, you can't eat that. You can't put that there. No, you can't take the dog for a walk at night. You know, all these things I'm telling my kids they can't do. But when it comes to their bedrooms, they could do almost anything they want to do. Because in my mind, those bedrooms are their own mini apartments. And it's their responsibility to clean it and organize it. And I usually do the decorating, but they've had some say in that as they've gotten older. And I'm always redecorating my kids' bedrooms because they're constantly changing. Like, if you listen to this podcast when you're 7 and you listen to it again when you're 9 and then you're 12 and then you're 13 and then you're 17, you will see your bedroom differently every single time. You will think about that space differently. But if you always think about it as your space and your apartment, you will start to take care of it better, you will organize it better, and you'll really, really enjoy your bedroom. All right, so we're going to make our rooms our own. And when I say this, you may have already started dreaming like, okay, then I want the walls painted this color, and I want a chandelier, and I want this, that, and the other thing. And I'm going to say, okay, fine. That's fine. Make your dream list. That's great. However, number one, your parents own the house, so they have to agree. And number two, if you really want something, then you need to either earn the money for it or do some work that's really meaningful for your mom and dad for them to pay for you to do it. So don't go to your parents, turn off this podcast, go to your parents and go, this professional organizer said my room is my apartment and I could do anything I want. And here's my list of things I want in my room. That is not what I said at all. I'm saying that this is your space. It's your space to live in. It's your space to take care of. And if your parents agree, it is your space to decorate. If you either earn the money yourself or can do enough work for your parents that they can pay to do those things. Now, along the way, I'm going to be giving you a lot of solutions and ideas for different ways to organize different spaces in your room, and some of them will cost money. But I want you to remember that you can find a lot of the things I'm going to mention at garage sales, on Craigslist. If you find the ad on Craigslist and you show it to your parents or ask them to use that, that's a great way to get bookshelves and things like that. And I do the majority of shopping for my daughter at a place called Plato's Closet, which it may have a different name where you live, but essentially it's a teenage consignment store. And before that, there was a younger girl's consignment store that we went to. And we'll be talking about that more in the next podcast about clothes. So here's how we're going to go through the next 5 weeks the next five podcasts. This podcast is your general get it done. Like your mom said, go organize your room. This is what I'm going to have you do. And we'll just basically get our room as good as we can this week, okay? With just some of the basic organizing principles. But to really have your room be organized and feel like your own mini apartment and that you have a lot of say in it, we need to go a little deeper in the different areas of organizing. And if you really think about it, if you're listening to this podcast and you're 15, 16, 17 years old, it really is a mini apartment. Like, you're probably like my teenage kids in your bedroom the majority of the minutes that you're actually in the house. Like, if you're not in the house, you're not in your bedroom. But as soon as you get home, you probably grab something to eat and go in your bedroom or grab another charger and go in your bedroom. Like, you're in your bedroom all the time. And so because you're in your bedroom all the time, it's not just where you sleep and have your clothes. It's also where you have your work and school supplies. And it's where you have your toys, your hobbies, your passions, your beauty supplies, your hair products. All of those things are all in your bedroom. So next week, I'm going to talk all about clothes, what kind of clothes to keep and where to keep them. Then the third week, I'm going to talk about organizing your work supplies. That's school, books, anything related to a job that you might have, backpacks and purses. And then in week 4, I'm going to talk about toys, hobbies, and passions. And when you're 7, it's almost all toys. And by the time you're 17, it's almost all hobbies and passions. And there's a progression along the way. How do we organize those? And how do we save the things we aren't ready to get rid of, but we aren't actively using anymore? And then the last week is really for teenagers and those going off to college. We're going to talk about organizing your beauty supplies, hair products, jewelry, and transitioning from your bedroom to a dorm room or to an apartment. All right, so let's get started. There are 4 steps to organizing your room, 4 basic steps that you're going to do every single week. And the first one is to decide what day and time you're going to organize your bedroom every single week. You need to put this on your calendar and do it the same time every single week. Don't turn the podcast off. This is something you just need to do. If you've heard anything about me or your parents have listened to me at all, your mom might talk about the Sunday basket and how you have to put papers for her in the Sunday basket. Or she might say, oh yeah, that paper is in the Sunday basket. And I teach moms to put all of the papers that come in during the week in one basket. And then every Sunday, it's their job to go through that basket, just like you go through your room usually on the weekend. Now, some kids come home from school and they organize their room on Friday. They clean and organize their room on Friday so they can enjoy it all organized all weekend. And other people put it off until Sunday afternoon before the school week starts because they procrastinate and they don't want to do it. And here's a hint. Procrastinating is not going to make the task of organizing your room go away. So just do it. Like, easy for me to say, right? I like to organize my room. But I'm telling you, after you listen to all these podcasts and you learn about how to get your room the way you want it and you get it organized, you actually will enjoy organizing. You know, when I was a kid, I was just naturally organized and other kids weren't. And I just thought you were either born with it or you weren't. Some people could organize and some people couldn't. And what I have learned over time is that is not true. Everyone can be organized. Some people are born naturally organized and other people have to learn how to do it. And these podcasts are going to teach you how to do it. Because if you just leave your room messy and refuse to clean it and don't want to learn how to get organized, what's going to happen is you're going to grow up and you're going to have an apartment and then you're going to get married and have kids and have a house. And then you're going to have a house that needs to be organized and you're going to have to learn how to get organized then. While you're maybe working, taking care of kids, being married, owning a house, it's going to be much harder to learn to be organized as an adult than it is as a child. So you're going to have to learn this sometime. You might as well do it now. And organizing is actually fun. I know, if you don't like organizing, it sounds like maybe it wouldn't be fun, but I don't know if there's something else that you learned how to do. Maybe you were in a sport and you thought, oh, well, maybe that'll be fun. Maybe it won't be. And even if you thought it would be fun, it was a lot of work to learn how to play that sport and to learn all the rules and to learn the people on your team. And every year when you have a new team and you have to learn new teammates and what their strengths and weaknesses are and learn how to work together, it's really, really challenging, right? But by the end of the year, when you really know each other and you're playing really well together and your team is doing really well and winning a lot, it feels great. But you can't get to the point where the team is doing really well and winning a lot if you don't put in all the practice time on the beginning, right? The same thing is true with your room. Now, you need to do it every single week. I guess you could do it more often, but you can't do it less often. Because here's what happens. If your moms have a Sunday basket and they don't do it on Sunday and they think, oh, I'll wait one more week, trust me, ask them. It's a really hard week. They don't know where their papers are. They don't remember what bills got paid. It's just really hard if they don't go through that Sunday basket every single week. Same is true if you don't clean your room every weekend. If you don't clean your room every weekend, then there's just too much laundry there. It's too chaotic. You can't find things and you'll get very frustrated. Okay, so we're going to pick a time to do our bedroom. Most people are, what I think is the most natural time to organize your bedroom, unless you're into a sporting event, is Saturday morning. You know, come home from Friday, ride your bike, do whatever you want, go out. And then Saturday morning when you get up, turn on some fun music and organize your room. On average, to organize a bedroom can take anywhere from 1 to 4 hours. If you're not used to organizing your bedroom, it's probably going to take you 4 hours to organize it for the next couple of weeks because I'm going to be teaching you a lot of neat organizational tricks and you're going to be decluttering a lot and just really changing how you even think about your bedroom. So I would say it's probably going to take, you know, from the time you get up until noon or 1 o'clock on a Saturday, or, you know, it's going to take a good amount of time. But as you get better and the room gets more organized, you'll easily be able to get it done in an hour or less. All right, so we've picked a day and time. Just for the sake of uniformity, I'm saying we're going to just do it Saturday morning. Okay, you could pick a different time if you want. The next thing we need to do are the top three. These are the top three things you're going to do every single weekend. Even if you don't have time to completely organize your room, you're going to do these top three things. So if it's a really busy weekend and you're in a lot of sporting events and you're only home a little bit of time, I want you to do these three things, even if you don't get your room all the way organized. So the top three are number one, trash and food, number two, clothes, and number three, the floor. So number one, trash and food. The first thing I want you to do is get a new trash bag, empty out your trash can, look around the room, get all of the food out, get all of the trash out. You know, if you're in charge of the bathroom, empty the bathroom trash also, tie that up, take that down, put it in the trash can in the garage. Any food that you have in your room, like let's say that you were, going to eat pretzels and you brought the whole bag of pretzels up to your bedroom, or a whole bag of cookies or whatever you brought into your bedroom. Now's the time to take that and put that back in the kitchen for the whole family so that there's no food and there's no trash in your bedroom. All right, step two is to collect all of those dirty clothes that are all over everywhere and put them in the laundry if your mom still does the laundry, or start a load of laundry if you do your own laundry. So you're going to get all of the clothes, all of the towels. If you've left clothes on the floor in the bathroom, get those. And if your mom stores the hangers in the laundry room, take all of the empty hangers out of your closet and put them in the laundry room so that the clothes get hung up again. And then the third thing you're going to do is pick up everything on the floor. That's usually where your school supplies are, your backpack, any books that you've been looking at, any toys you've been playing with, makeup. In my daughter's room, it's pet supplies. Just whatever's on the floor, clean that up so that you can run the vacuum on the floor. Okay, so that's your basic three things that you're going to do every single week. Go through the trash and food, pick up all the clothes and put them in the laundry, and clean up the bedroom floor. Then the third thing that I want you to do is to go through and decide what you no longer need. The only way to get your room more organized is to get rid of so much stuff. So I did this for years and years and years with my daughter. Every single weekend we would organize her room, and she had so much stuff in her room. And eventually she realized that the more she got rid of, A, the less I was in her room organizing it because there wasn't as much stuff to organize, and B, she was able to start organizing her own room because there just wasn't as much stuff. Now, when you're 7, 8, 9, 10, you're listening to this podcast, you have a lot of toys, and all of your toys have a lot of pieces. So if you have Polly Pockets and you were to count every little piece of thing that you had that was Polly Pockets, you probably have 100 little things that are her clothes and her little bodies. And then you have her little house and the car and all those things too, right? So it's a lot of little things to pick up. Same with Barbie. Barbie's got 18 gajillion clothes. Your Barbies may have more clothes than you do. I know a lot of them do. Or if you're into horses or whatever you're into, there are a lot of pieces and parts with all of those toys. So keeping track of those is sometimes difficult. And what happens is you'll be playing with Polly Pockets for a long time, and then all of a sudden you'll get into Barbies. And usually once you get into Barbies, about 6 months to a year later, you no longer play with Polly Pockets anymore. You still like your Polly Pockets. You just don't play with them all the time anymore. So this is where we look around the room and we say, okay, what is in this room that I really don't want anymore? And then I'm going to go into more detail in every area about some of the things you no longer want, but you generally just have a few choices. Number one, if you look at something in your room, you can keep it. You can keep it and you can keep it in your bedroom. The second choice you have is you can keep it, but you can keep it somewhere else. So like, let's say that you are into Barbies now and you used to be in Polly Pockets and both of them are in your bedroom. And you agree with me, you're not really going to play Polly Pockets anymore, but you're not really ready to give them away. Then you can take all of those and put them in a box or bag or Ziploc bag or whatever and hand them to your mom and say, I don't want to get rid of these, but I don't want to play with them right now. And she will put them in the storage room or closet or somewhere else. And we'll talk about some of those places in future weeks where we could put these things. And then the third choice is to just donate it. Now, this is super hard for adults, and I know it's going to be hard for you, but eventually we just have to learn how to give our stuff away. Like how to, you know, we love the stuff that we get and we love to play with it, but eventually you're done. Like, for example, if your mom took you out and said, okay, we're going to go out to fast food. You could pick any restaurant you want. You get to pick your favorite fast food restaurant. And you're going to go and you get whatever it is you get there. And you love it. And you eat it and it's yummy and it's all gone. Are you going to keep the wrapper that the food came in because you loved going out to that fast food restaurant with your mom? No. You've already eaten the thing, right? It's gone. It's in your belly. So you don't need to have the container anymore because you had the experience with your mom. The same thing happens with your stuff. So let's say you play Polly Pockets for 3 or 4 years straight and you play it with your best friend who's the neighbor, or you play it with your brother or sister, and you have so many great memories playing Polly Pockets and the inventive games that you guys had on long summer nights, or when you took a family vacation, or the week that you were sick and your mom played Polly Pockets with you. You have all these memories attached to Polly Pockets, but you're 15. You're 15 and there are still Polly Pockets in your bedroom, and you love all of the memories you have of playing with Polly Pockets. But are you going to play with Polly Pockets again? No, you're not going to play Polly Pockets again. Even if your best friend comes over, even if your siblings come in your room, even if you're sick for a week, you're not going to play Polly Pockets again, right? You're done with Polly Pockets. So it's okay to give them away because, number one, you still have the memories. You don't have to keep the stuff. And number two, wouldn't it be awesome if you put all your Polly Pocket stuff in a Ziploc bag and gave it away, and then some other little girl got that Ziploc bag of Polly Pocket stuff and she got to create all those awesome memories that you created in her life. Wouldn't that be great? So don't think of getting rid of things as getting rid of the memories. You get to keep the memories, and not only that, you get to give the opportunity for somebody else to make the same awesome memories. Now, I just want to say real quickly, if you're anything like me, if I was a kid and somebody had told me that, I would have gone in my bedroom and given everything away because I would have wanted everyone to have more memories and stuff, and I would rather do without than have the stuff. That's not what I'm saying. Do not give away the toys that you are currently play with or the passions that you currently have. Or let's say you played with Polly Pockets last week and this week you're not playing with them. You're not ready to get rid of them yet. You don't donate them until you haven't played with them for probably a year. So anything in your bedroom that you haven't played with for a full year, so I'm recording this in June of 2016, and let's say you're in fifth grade. If you haven't played with it since you were in third grade, then yes, you can probably get rid of it. Now, when you're ready to get rid of something, you first have to take it to your mom and say, hey, mom, I don't want to play Polly Pockets anymore. And ask your brothers and sisters, I don't want the Polly Pockets anymore. Does somebody else want the Polly Pockets? And you may have a sibling that's like, oh, I want all the Polly Pockets. Great. But they're not going to be in your bedroom anymore. They're going to be in their bedroom. And your mom may say, oh, I love the Polly Pockets. Remember when we played Polly Pockets when you were sick that week? Oh, that was so great. And then your mom can keep the Polly Pockets as a memory for herself somewhere else. If your mom wants to keep the Polly Pockets, they don't get kept in your bedroom because you're done with the Polly Pockets. Now, this is super hard for both the moms and for you. And this is why I don't let moms organize in bedrooms when I organize, because you have memories with Polly Pockets and your mom has memories with Polly Pockets also. But the memory really is in your heart. It's not in the actual Polly Pocket. And some people have a really hard time getting rid of the Polly Pockets and keeping the memory in their heart without actually holding the Polly Pockets. And if your mom has a hard time, then she'll keep the Polly Pockets, and that's fine. She owns the whole entire house, remember? So she can put them somewhere else in the house because it's her whole entire house. But you only have your bedroom. That's like your little apartment. That's where you keep everything. If you want to keep the Polly Pockets and not play with them anymore, then you can put them in a bag and you could put them either under your bed or in your closet. And we're going to talk about that more in a couple of weeks. So don't feel like you need to get rid of them if you want to keep them and the memory at the same time. I'm going to keep talking to you about this over the 4 weeks because I cannot give you everything you need to know in just one podcast. This is a big skill. This skill of letting go of things but keeping the memory is a really hard thing to learn. And some people do it easier than other people. All right, so back to the beginning. Number one, we're going to decide what day to do it, Saturday morning. Number two, we're going to do the top three. Get out the trash and the food, put all the clothes in the laundry, and clean up the floor. And number three, we're going to look around the room and see if there's anything that we're finished with that we're ready to donate. That might be a book, it might be some clothing, it might be a toy. Doesn't have to be a lot of things. I'm going to encourage you to find 10 things to donate. Only 10. Could be 10 individual books, 10 pieces of shirts, or whatever. Whatever the easiest thing is for you to let go. And if that was super, super easy, then give away 10 more. Do a total of 20. And then the last thing you need to do when you're cleaning your room is to actually clean. So I make my kids go get the vacuum cleaner and run the vacuum cleaner on the floor. And then you can either use a duster. If your mom does that, we use Windex. So my kids, they actually each have, they did this on their own. They each have a bottle of Windex and paper towels in their bedroom. They keep it in their bedroom. And so they clean off the top of their dresser and their desk and whatever. And our furniture, Windex is okay. You have to ask your mom. Your furniture, Windex might not be okay. You might need like a duster cloth or something to do that. So find out what you need to clean off your desk and your dresser and ask if you have permission to vacuum. If you're vacuuming your bedroom by yourself, which I think is totally fine, make sure you're wearing tennis shoes, not sandals and not no shoes. You should have tennis shoes on when you're vacuuming, especially if you are 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Make sure mom says it's okay to vacuum. Make sure you have tennis shoes on that cover your toes, shoes that cover your toes on when you do vacuuming, just for safety. All right, so that's the basic of cleaning your room. Next week, I'm going to talk to you all about clothes, and I think you're really going to like what I have to say.